are listening to The Caregivers with Lon Kiefer.
Hey there, how you doing? Yeah, you. I'm talking to you. You might be a caregiver. Hey, I don't know. You might not even know. Welcome home to the Caregivers Podcast, where you are never alone. My name is Lon Kiefer, and I am a caregiver, and I'm also your host. And you can find me on social media as Lon Kiefer, or as I'm sure you know by now, I'm known as Doc, the Defender of Caregivers. That's where you can find me on Facebook. Our website for the podcast is thecaregiverspodcast.com, and we are The Caregivers Podcast on Facebook. Over on Twitter, we are Caregivers Pod, and we got an Instagram account, but I just never touch it. I'm an old man, just, you know, that's not my thing, baby. And for those of you that don't know what we're doing here, we're talking to the caregivers of the world, whether they be professional or personal family caregivers, in an effort to make certain no one is ever alone on their caregiver's journey, even if your companion is just a voice on a podcast. In this episode, which if you're out there counting in the world, and you know, I know you are, this is our 26th episode, which marks 6 months to the day. It's also our basically 2019 recap podcast as we go into 2020. And I know I'm the only person in the world that has made the analogy of 2020 vision. There you go. You heard it here first. Yeah. You can thank me later for that. I wanted to give you a little bit of a vision about, you know, where we are going with the podcast, where we've been. Drum roll, please. Sounded more like a bad knock on a door. Our guest today for this podcast is Lon Kiefer, the Defender of Caregivers. Thank you. Thank you very much. I warned you all that I would do this every now and then and have myself, which, and Doc, the Defender of Caregivers, which, to remind you, is supposed to be the calmer, more rational version of myself. And we've talked about that a few times on the podcast. But what I want to do here is just kind of recap some of our guests, some of the highlights, how we got here, where we're going. I talk about it periodically on the podcast. Where this all started for me is that, and as I go through each of the episodes briefly and give like a 1 or 2 minute comment on each one of them, I'll start with our introductory episode of July 12th with, Paula Sangalier, where she was officially the host of the podcast and she interviewed me. And what I learned from that podcast is what it's like to sit across from a true professional. I mean, Paula Sangalier is no stranger behind a microphone. She's been in professional broadcasting her entire career, and she's an hilarious woman. And she made a joke on the podcast and then said, well, we'll let them figure it out. And anyway, the sort of hidden story behind the joke is that Paula is a little person or a chondroplastic dwarf, or you know, she uses terms that I can't use, but she is a big personality, but a small, short person. And I asked her to be the guest host of the podcast because I knew of her wit and humor. I did not know the caregiver side of her story, and I have since watched her switch jobs and also advocate for other people and help other people. By watched her, I mean, you know, on her posts on Facebook or when I talked to her briefly. And, you know, I'm looking forward to having Paula back on as an actual guest one day on the podcast. But I've learned something amazing from just about each one of our guests, and my hope is to kind of run that down a little bit here. But how did we get here in general? Well, I believe that there was something in me and in a lot of the people that come on the podcast that defines them as a nature caregiver, somebody that was born and would seek some kind of a role in serving others. even if it's not in traditional healthcare, or they were born with such a personality that if the family was in a crisis, they would be the ones to step into the role of caring for their family and would actually seek it. They may regret it later when they feel the joyful burden, the burden of joy for having taken the role. But I find nature caregivers everywhere, and my belief is that I was one of them, and I chose a path of nursing at a time when very few of my male counterparts at that age were choosing that path. And so here we are. I wanted to shift my career away from traveling and speaking, but I wanted to continue to share the message somehow. So that's where the podcast has come from. And this is an opportunity for me to share with you sort of the highlights of what you missed. Now, from a nuts and bolts standpoint, I have two children, Stephen, my son. I'm a grandfather now. My granddaughter, Addie, is about a year and a half old. And we've got a second grandchild on the way who is also due in May. So they can, you know, fight over you know, my little sister Megan, who's born in July, says that the whole month of July is her birthday. So, good luck for Addie and her soon-to-be brother. They're going to have to split the month because it looks like they're both going to be born in the same month. But anyway, my son Stephen and his family are in Jacksonville, and my daughter Taylor, who is a doctor in audiology, graduated. I'm sort of giving you a rundown of 2019. Graduated from the audiology program in Louisville. And yes, Lamar Jackson, thank you, especially to the Shut Up Sisters, one of our episodes of the podcast, who are Tom Brady and New England Patriots fan. Lamar Jackson, without a doubt, the future MVP of the NFL this year, and you know, the best team in football, the 14-2 Ravens, went to Louisville University, where my daughter graduated from audiology in May of 2019. So she was jokingly off the payroll once she started her career, also in Jacksonville, in June. So what did I do? I started a podcast in July, and then I got married in August. Tell you a quick story about that. You know, I'd been single for 20 years, and partially because, listen, I'll admit it, I have to protect myself from my caregiver personality where I overcommit, and then I stick to that commitment sometimes to the suffrage, if that's the right word, or at the expense of other commitments that I'd made previously but are no longer first and foremost in how they dominate my time and effort. It's kind of the same analogy when I talk to a spouse or a parent of someone that is in need of a caregiver role, that yes, you're a spouse and you're a parent, or you're a child of a early onset dementia parent or what have you, that I've also had where parents were the caregivers for their children who had early onset dementia. I've seen it all over the years. But the bottom line is, you come to this thinking this is something I must do or I should do because I'm a family member. This is my wife or my child or what have you. But at some point they morph into being a caregiver and they don't frequently notice it. Talk about awareness, acceptance, and allowance as the three phases that caregivers go through. And the hardest one is awareness. We stay in the moment of that, you know, I'm a family member and this is something I should do. And then when they realize that they're actually doing caregiver duties, they can self-identify as a caregiver. And what they actually get at that point is they can all of a sudden accept help for caregiver roles, and then they get to be that person, the family member that they originally thought they were. So anyway, I'm rambling, which is what I tend to do all the time. But when you shift, as I was saying before, it's not that the commitments I made earlier are no longer commitments. It's just that they're no longer as dominant as the new commitments I make. So I'm always sort of afraid of making new commitments because once I make them, I dive right in. And for a long time as a single father, one of the commitments that I didn't want to make was to get married again or to help raise someone else's children. And there's times where I regret putting myself in that box, but the bottom line is I don't regret that I finally got married to Vicky in August. But leading up to our wedding in August, I kept saying, "I why am I doing this? I've been single all these years. You know, I was kind of like, you know, what am I doing this for? What am I doing this for?" And this is a long joke that I'm telling you, but we ended up getting married at Gary Memorial Church, which is a historic church. It's 300 or 400 years old. I'm fudging the numbers because I don't know the actual facts. I could have prepped more for this podcast. But anyway, Gary Memorial Hospital Church is in the Ellicott City area. And my sister and her family have been members of this very small church that, as I say, is down this long, winding road. It's down by a river. It was by a mill. And it was a town down there that sort of became, I think it got flooded out a few times, and the town sort of slowly depopulated, leaving this church, this beautiful church in this beautiful setting, down this long winding road through the woods towards the river. And that road is called Daniel's Road. So as we were getting ready to get married, we had our invitations done and we sent them out, and the invitations had a typo on them, and we invited people to our wedding at Gary Memorial Church on Daniel's Road. You can spell it out phonetically or alphabetically or get Pat Sajak or somebody to help you, but Daniel's rearranged can be the word Daniel's, and that's what we invited people to, unbeknownst to us, because of a typo. And it scared me a little bit because it was like, all this time I'm coming up to this wedding going, why am I doing this? Everything's been great. We're happy. I don't really need to do this. And then I get an invitation that says Daniel's on it. So I got a little bit scared, but I also got mad because we paid for these invitations. So I contacted Vistaprint. Yep, that's me. I'm the guy that used Vistaprint invitations for our wedding. And I said, hey, I want you to fix this typo. So they sent out another set of invitations. And on this one, they put an apostrophe in the word denials, as if to let me know that my denial was not plural, but it was possessive. So yeah, it turns out that Daniel's is not just a river in Africa. It's a long and winding road to wedded bliss in Ellicott City, leading to Gary Memorial Church. But anyway, this is why I'm not doing stand-up comedy anymore, folks. I'm running a podcast now. But I wanted to tell you sort of the history of where we are. I've been wanting to do this for a while. I wanted to commit to doing it well. I wanted to commit to doing it live. I've got this a Sprinter RV that's, if you go to the caregiverspodcast.com or defenderofcaregivers.com, you'll see a picture of the RV tricked out. I mean, I got an RV with a 9-foot bear on the side of it. So there you go. Explain that. I've been trying to ever since I got it. But the idea was that I would travel around, I would do my play Defending the Caregiver, and I would do podcasts on the road. And frankly, that's not the way this has played out. The idea of getting physically to all the people that I wanted to meet and work with them one-on-one to do the podcast just has proven to be too much to keep doing it once a week. So we're doing a lot of them on by phone, and I just don't like them by phone. The voice quality is not as well. I tend to either talk too long or interrupt people because the flow is not as good as a live podcast. And the second podcast that we ever did, which was actually technically the first podcast because you don't count the introductory podcast, was with Rachel Yoder Shetterly. And she is a personal family caregiver. And to this day, I think it's the most downloaded, most popular podcast, or maybe the one after it that I'm going to talk about in a minute. But this was the most successful live podcast that I've done to date, these first couple. And then it just proved to be too much to keep up. But I want to get back to that. But anyway, so Rachel, her episode is from July 19th, 2019. And I would encourage you to go back and listen to that. This is a very brave, very well-spoken woman that talked to me about how her family was sort of, for lack of a better word, torn apart because of some decisions she made that had to do with her family's religious history and that sort of thing. And that later, when her mom needed her, it's like those things were no longer a problem. Like, you're okay because we need you now. And again, Rachel tells this story much better, but she told me an amazing story about faith and how she had to sort of leave the formality of certain aspects of a religion, but get more spiritual to find herself and save herself so she could care for her mom. And I'm not doing it justice, but it was a wonderful experience. We were in a corn crib outdoors doing a podcast, and I've never felt more alive as a podcaster than I did at that episode. So I really would encourage you to go back and listen to Rachel Yoder Shetterly's episode of the podcast. Now, another episode of the podcast where I felt very much alive and thought, hey, I'm doing something really cool, was with Loretta Woodward Vini, who is a personal family caregiver, advocate, author, speaker. She's been taking care of her mom, who has dementia. And we did this podcast on the side of a road in the suburbs of DC at a coffee shop. And it was about 4 million degrees outside, and I was wearing a pink shirt, and we were sweating like crazy, and you can hear road noise in the background. But it really was amazing experience, especially considering how much of a following Loretta has and how just good she is at sharing a story and telling it on Facebook. I mean, here we were with our third, you'll get tired of that, so I'm going to quit numbers anyway. I'd like to shout out to Katie Levin, our producer on this, who does a wonderful job of putting the podcast together for me. She says numbering the podcast is not the proper way to go going forward. So ours are not numbered. They all come out on a Friday, and I can give you the name and the date. And what we're trying to do is give a little bit of a subset about what the podcasts are about, but this is the story of a woman who took care of her mom and has become just a nationally known, recognized expert and advocate on dementia. And she is a professional trainer prior to this personal experience, but I don't think she ever saw herself on this journey. But that was an amazing podcast that really got quite a bit of attention when we posted it. Now, I don't understand this. But I get emails from people that listen to the podcast and they're like, how can I subscribe to this? How can I get it on my phone? And all I can tell you folks, I'll try and maybe shoot a video and post it later. But then this is the caregiver audience is a tough audience to reach because a lot of them are in denial that they're actually caregivers. And a lot of others rotate through the role, and then when the current challenge or obligation that they have is they're no longer required to play that role, they kind of move on. So it's a ever moving transient group of people that can be tough to reach. But I've gotten some amazing emails from people telling me how helpful these stories have been. And not every one of the episodes is for everybody, but Along with those emails, though, I get, how do I subscribe to the podcast? And all I can tell you on an iPhone, I don't know anything about Droids or any of that stuff, is that on an iPhone, there's a little icon that usually comes preloaded on your apps called Podcasts. And you just go into the podcast and you hit the search button and you put in The Caregivers and you find us and you click on it and there you go. You download it and you subscribe. That's a little sidebar there. So the next episode, we had Don Wendorf and Linda Everman, and these are amazing folks that have been involved in, they each took care of their spouses, their respective spouses who had dementia, and then they became advocates for dementia and Alzheimer's related illnesses, and they've been involved with the Help Stamp Out Alzheimer's program, which, and they're clear on, they didn't, you know, drive it. They just support it and are very much advocates for it. But it's a semi-postal stamp. You can go to the post office and you can get a stamp where a portion of the proceeds goes towards Alzheimer's research and the like. And they've written several amazing books and spiritual books. And their episode was on August 2nd. And you know, they each lost a spouse, but then found a spouse because through their activity and work in the field of dementia and Alzheimer's, they met one another and they are now married and retired and hiking the world. I guess the world, part of the world, but they're great outdoor advocates and I've really enjoyed my relationship with them. You want to talk about and that was our first telephone podcast, and it was with two people, and it was a little bit awkward at first as far as stepping on each other, but a lot of great information there. And if you want to see one of the worst pictures of me ever, you'll go to the Caregivers Podcast and look at episode August 9th, Coffee, Tea, and Me with Cheryl Parnell, and I've got the puffiest I'm kind of vain, folks, even though I've got no reason to be. I don't like myself in pictures. You'll notice that on the podcast logo, there's a cartoon of me. I like him better than I like me. That's not actually why I did it, but that's what I tell people now. I did it because I was trying to get a rendering of me that was drawn in the same style as the rendering of Doc, the bear on the side of the... Don't try and understand me, folks. It's a scary place in my brain. Just let's try and get the messages from the podcast. But so I did on August 9th, it was posted on August 9th, Coffee, Tea, and Me with Cheryl Parnell. This is a woman she's taking care of her mom, and she has started a grassroots support group of her own. And I got invited to this support group, and I didn't know what I was walking into, and honestly, I regretted being there. Cheryl knows this. Initially, I regretted being there. I went into this room and it was just kind of chaos, but they were having fun and they were talking back and forth. And I was supposed to go there and meet this group and do my podcast, and like nothing was happening. And, you know, I mean, for me, you know, it's all about me, but at that point, but they were having fun. And I finally just started setting up my podcast equipment and it turned into an absolute hoot. There were about 20 people in the room. There was zero structure to this. I didn't know what I was getting into, but damn, if I didn't enjoy myself. People started coming up and taking turns behind the microphone, and we went in twists and turns, and we went on so long we kind of got kicked out of the room because the time that we had to for her meeting, we ran through it. But it was a wonderful podcast right down where the old Memorial Stadium was for the Orioles played, where I spent a lot of time with my dad as a kid. And this was in, do I call it district or zone or... my mind is drawing a blank of what they call it, but it was where Senator Elijah Cumming, who has recently passed, was from. And this was in the middle of the battle between he and Donald Trump was going back and forth. And Donald Trump was saying that nothing good ever came out of Elijah Cumming's district. There's the word I was looking for. And I got to tell you, on this day in this podcast, I don't do politics here, but on this day with this podcast, something very good came out of Elijah Cumming's district, and that was the Caregiver Tea and Me episode with Cheryl Parnell on August 9th. If you want to hear some real grassroots folks just supporting each other and having a great time, I suggest you go back and listen to that podcast. So, I've been asked if we're going to have any sponsors on this podcast. I've even been asked, so how much does it cost to come on the podcast? Somebody, accused is a little bit strong of a word, but he kind of came on a little bit strong. He wanted to be on the podcast, and then he started telling his story, and I said, look, dude, I don't know you, and this is not a commercial. I don't do these podcasts are not commercials for the speakers or the guests. Some of my guests are speakers or they have business interests within the caregiver space, but I hope I never allow it to be a commercial per se. And he then asked me, he goes, well, how much is it anyway to be on the podcast? And I said, we're not a match. It costs nothing to be on this podcast. But I've been asked if I'm going to get some sponsors, and I'm toying with that. I might get one or two, but I want to keep this clean. I did get a letter in the mail for, get this, folks, $250,000 on behalf of Defender of Caregivers that they want to back us. It's not that. It's some company that's offering some pre-qualified business funding because we're technically a corporation. But if anybody gave us $250,000 based on the proceeds of the podcast, there are two businesses that would go under. The people that gave me the money and I'd still do the podcast. I'm enjoying it more than money. But I just... okay, enough of that. It was a failed joke, but we may take a sponsor in 2020, but we're not there. There's no commitment to doing that at this point. So August 16th was an episode with Mary Stuart Chapet, who is an advocate, a professional and personal family caregiver with the Anne Arundel County Department of Aging and Disabilities. And I want to be Mary one day. She has, I won't say lucked into it because she worked hard to get into the position, but she just has a wonderful job advocating for people. I mean, it's a job. She works hard, but she, I just see how she engages with the folks that she serves. She loves what she's doing. She provides a great service, and we talked a little bit about that, and we agreed we were not going to get personal, but she got a little bit personal and told of her personal journey where she went through a health scare, and it's just a great story. The whole theme of the Caregivers Podcast is for professional caregivers to be able to learn from other professional caregivers and learn the perspective of personal family caregivers and vice versa. I'd gone on a podcast called Two on a Phone or something like that as I was launching this podcast. And it was actually the same day we talked about it with Paula Sangalier. It was the same day of the first podcast. I wasn't in a car accident. I was driving and I came upon a fresh car accident. I mean, there were no civilians in front of me. The only people in front of me were emergency vehicles. And I was sitting there trying to decide, do I want to turn around and go back the other way because it was on a country road and that would have been a long detour, or do I want to just wait it out? And then I just got kind of mesmerized with what was happening. And if it sounds like I just admitted that I was a rubbernecking gawker, stalker, whatever you want to call it, about somebody's tragedy. No, I wasn't even remotely looking down there on what happened. I was looking at what happened around me, which was, fire trucks showing up, ambulances showing up. There was a series of three medevac helicopters that landed in a field not more than 50 feet away from me. And what occurred to me is all of these, emergency first responders were jumping off of these vehicles with their backpacks around them and their, their crisis suits, and the reflector tape and the yellow suits, that they wear. You've seen these, you know what I'm talking about. Don't make me describe it more accurately than that. But anyway, they're modern day heroes and nobody would argue that. And they're caregivers. But I see a side of caregiving where people aren't always treated like modern day heroes. They take a lot of mental and emotional abuse at times, and they're accused for conditions that they don't have any control over. And I just am hopeful that we can find a space here where I can talk to leaders in healthcare settings, the leaders that serve family caregivers and professional caregivers, and get them to get another perspective on things. And a shout out to the family caregivers to understand the amazing individuals that commit to this industry. I just want a more circular appreciation for one another. And that's really where I'm going with this. And I come at it in odd ways and different angles, I realize. And one of those was the first podcast we had with a national figure, a comedian by the name of Adam Ferrara. Now, Adam is a phenomenal comedian, and he's been on television in things that you would know. He was on Rescue Me. He was on Nurse Jackie. He was in the U.S. version of Top Gear. He's in a program now that is running on ABC, When Women Kill. And he's a phenomenal comedian, and he talked about watching his dad die of bladder cancer, and how he was going back and forth between being a actor and comedian and being a personal family caregiver for his dad. And on another podcast, he was on The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler. He told this amazing story about his dad on his deathbed. And candidly, those two were professionals in the same room, and they had a hilarious but serious conversation about this. And admittedly, over the phone and with me not being anywhere near Adam's peer from a humor standpoint, we didn't quite get to that level of humor, but you did get to see a true caregiver personality behind a very accomplished professional comedian, and that was Adam Ferrara of August 23rd episode. The next episode was with Tim Wambach of Handicap This, and Tim is, I'm going to tell you two tales and stories about Tim. Tim is a guy that when he was young and trying to figure out what he wanted to be professionally, he hadn't quite had a career. I'm going to guess he was in his early 20s, although I might be wrong, and he may have even said this on the podcast and I don't remember it, but Tim went and worked at a school and was assigned as a personal care attendant for a young boy that had cerebral palsy. That young boy was by the name of Mike Berkson, and Mike was very fragile and debilitated physically. He really could not use his arms of much purpose, and his arms were sort of fixed out to the side of him, and he struggled with his speech a little bit. He was very severely affected by cerebral palsy, but Mike has an incredible wit and incredible sense of humor, and they tell the story of how Tim started taking care of this kid that was in middle school at the time, and they'd had two or three other people in the job that didn't last. And Tim not only lasted to help Mike get through school, they went on to a friendship of 10, 15, well, it continues today. And they had a play called Handicap This. And it's an amazing story that went, they did over 300 performances. They traveled over 77,000 miles, and they touched more than 100,000 audience members. And that's in real, you know, real live events. Online, it was even bigger than this. And this is the second tale that I want to tell you about their relationship. And it's that damn Facebook. Facebook and the internet are amazing. It allows people like me, this podcast, to come into your life and hopefully help and make it better. And it allows Tim to be found and Handicap This to be found and be invited to go speak other places. But they got, I think it was like a 500,000 followers or something like that on Facebook. And every time they would do a post, it would go viral and they would get invited to speak. Well, Mark Zuckerberg decided he didn't have enough money and he changed the algorithms. I'm telling you this, folks, because I want you to find groups that you trust and you can be involved with in places other than social media. Not trying to scare anybody or anything like that. But what happened over time with the new algorithms on Facebook is that nobody could hear the voice of Handicap This anymore. They would post, and even though they had a 500,000 followers, there would be no response unless they would pay to boost the post. And every time they would do that, they'd get a great response. But the next time to get the same response, they'd have to spend more money and more money. Now, I found this same thing with my own experience on Facebook and other places. And that's why more and more people are going to things like a podcast and trying to invite people onto an email list so that we can stay in touch with you. Which, by the way, if you go to defenderofcaregivers.com or thecaregiverspodcast.com, you'll be given an opportunity to sign up for our email list. I would encourage you to do that. I frankly very rarely send out an email of late just because I've been too busy, but I hope to do more messages and share some blogs that way. And as we do take the occasional public speaking gig, we'll let you know about that. But more than speaking on the conference circuit, which is where I started out, I'm now wanting to do Defending the Caregiver as a fundraiser for churches and nonprofits and smaller venue things that I can just have more fun with and a little bit more control over the scheduling of them. So, jump on that email list. You won't get bombarded with emails, but we will send you a nugget every now and then. But those are the two tales of Tim Wambach and Handicap This, the great relationship and story, and just a little slight insight into the world of the internet. Now, this next guest was really one of my greatest secret pleasures of the podcast, because I didn't know this man, and I was afraid to have someone that I didn't know on the podcast. Daniel C. Potts, neurologist, dementia expert. I knew of Daniel Potts from other people, and we just clicked. We vibed right away. We had a wonderful episode. I asked him if he could be my backup for if I didn't have an episode to get up, because I really want to try and do an episode every week. And he agreed to be my muse when I needed him. So I like people particularly that are better looking than me, more highly trained, more well-spoken to be on my beck and call. But I'm kidding. We had a good time. He took all my jokes in good fashion, and I hope to have him on the podcast again one day. But he is very much an advocate for person-centered care and is truly an expert. The next podcast, September 13th, The Dream Team. We kind of kept this one anonymous. I worked with these folks in a nursing home for 16-ish years. None of us could remember the actual amount of years, and they helped make me what I became, and it was just wonderful to reminisce. These are four amazingly dedicated women, and if you want to get some insight to my leadership style and my followership style, because I led from behind with these folks, they really taught me, they introduced me to my inner defender of caregivers, and I can't thank them enough for the years we had together and for the podcast we had together. If you are a leader in the senior living industry, please listen to this episode of the podcast, September 13th, The Dream Team. Okay, you guys have heard me bring on some guests that you could argue are not caregivers. And I would argue that they are caregivers because I see them broadly. But I brought Matt Ballacher onto the podcast. He is a comedian and an author of a book, Greg Giraldo, A Comedian's Story. And I also had an ulterior motive to bring Matt on the podcast. One, he's a very well-spoken, he married a trophy wife who also is the primary breadwinner. She's a physician. I'm joking because he actually wrote a blog about how to marry up or something of that effect. I mean, he's a very funny guy. But the book, Greg Giraldo, A Comedian's Story, told a story that read like a caregiver's story. It talked about a very talented person who did amazing things but never felt like he was truly achieving. A comedian and a caregiver's journey is very lonely. You feel isolated frequently. You feel as though you're never doing enough, even though everybody else thinks you're incredible. And it was an interesting way for me to talk about an imposter syndrome. And it's something I used to suffer from. When I would speak full-time and not work in the industry, I would feel like I was lying to my audience because I was telling them about things I was no longer doing. And then when I was a leader in the industry, I would miss speaking. So it became this sort of back and forth juggle. And frankly, as long as I'm doing the podcast, I feel fine with all the rest of it. It sort of helps me address the imposter syndrome. Now, if we could get our viewership up, it would help me, our listening audience up a little bit higher. It would help me even more. I'm kidding. A confession, I have not listened to all of the podcasts in order to prepare for this. I mean, nobody else is listening to them. Why should I, right? It's another joke. The one person that I do know, there's more than one. I hear from them every now and then. But one person I do know that has listened to every episode of the podcast is my sister Jenna. And she told me that she could listen to Matt Ballacher and I talk about how to knit for hours on end. We only did it for 20 minutes. But a bump, bump. She said that it was her most enjoyable episode to that point. And Matt Ballacher, a non-caregiver caregiver and imposter syndrome, I recommend that episode of the podcast. Pamela Renee Whitmore Yernaway. This is a funny woman and a very accommodating woman. And this was the first of the live podcasts that I dumped as soon as I got home. And it wasn't intentional. I deleted the podcast, and it was gold. It was very funny, very insightful. Pam is a really neat lady who is really into style and fashion, and she's an attractive woman who wants to be buried upside down. I didn't actually say that right, but... We talked about advanced directives, and I still haven't done them, Pam. I promised I will. It's very much on the early agenda of 2020, the year of future vision. But she has done her advanced directives because she's worked in many different settings within healthcare and now works in home health. And one of the things that they talk about very early in the engagement of a new relationship is, what are your advanced directives? What do you want to have happen after you pass away? What kind of interventions do you want late in the game? And these things, there's a scene I do in the play Defending the Caregiver about this, that, you know, by the time the decision comes of, are we going to do more or not, you're not being asked to make a decision. You're being asked to feel guilty about a decision that was long made by fate. But it is helpful to all parties concerned if you have these conversations in advance. And the idea of being buried upside down, that's not the way she said it. What she said is that she wants an open casket, but she wants the casket open from the shins down, because she will be buried with a fresh pedicure and a pair of cute shoes. So, funny gal, funny episode. And she tolerated me twice. We did this podcast twice in order to get you one episode. So damn it, go listen to it. September 27th, Pamela Renee Whitmore, You're in a Way. I just call her Pam because that name is great episode. Oh my word. Kelly Casto, our guest of October 4th. She's the founder of Saving Our Seniors, a nonprofit organization. I think she is possibly, her word, not mine, the craziest woman alive. She tells stories of delivering beds up three flights of stairs in approaching hurricanes with drunk friends that she pulled out of happy hour to do so. Funny, funny lady, doing amazing things out there in, St. Petersburg, Tampa, St. Petersburg area. Shout out to Radio St. Pete. Thanks for rebroadcasting the Caregivers Podcast every Monday at 1. Podcast comes out on Friday, TGIF. You notice we dropped that from the opening. You're not necessarily listening to it on a Friday, but the podcast does come out every Friday. And if you can figure out how to do the app and subscribe, it'll be there waiting for you. So persevere. I know you can do it. And if you can't, go to the website, find the Kelly Casto episode of October 4th and just laugh, and then donate, help her. She'll tell you her organization needs money to keep doing what they're doing, but she is as real as they come. Gary Joseph LeBlanc. What can I say about Gary? Gary has become a personal friend. We met back in the day on Facebook when we both were advocating, and he's had me on several of his different types of episodes, and he's everywhere. I can't believe all the things he's doing. He started a hospital wristband project so that hospital workers could be aware when someone had dementia in a HIPAA compliant manner. He's been involved with training first responders, firemen, policemen about how to recognize someone with dementia and how to work with them. He's combined his music background with a fundraising music festival every year. The guy's everywhere. I don't know how he's keeping up, but the story that I will always appreciate Gary for is that he's just Gary. He's just a dude whose dad got Alzheimer's disease, and he took care of his dad at home for 10 years or more. And then he got maybe a 1 or 2 year break. And then guess what? It was his turn taking care of his mom. And he's just Gary. He didn't know where to turn, what to do. So he started learning. His dad and he ran a bookstore that he continues to run on the weekends. And he's just, I guess because of being a book guy, he's just a learner. He's a self-learner and reader. And lo and behold, he's one of the most expert dementia experts. Yeah, I said that. Expert, dementia expert. Anyway, he's one of the most knowledgeable people I know on dementia and speaks about it in such a real, honest way. And he has a particular interest in something that's called the Baker Act. Now, what the Baker Act is that, and why he's training first responders. I mean, this guy is an advocate at a legendary level. What happens if the first responders, the emergency folks, get involved with a scenario where they don't, and I won't go any more into my dad, but we experienced this with my dad, who needed the Baker Act. My father had a mental illness, and the Baker Act is where you get, and I'm putting the finger quotes up, folks, where you get committed, where you get taken in for evaluation and you have to stay a certain period of time. It's a little bit different depending on what jurisdiction or state you're in, so I won't get into the minutiae of the specifics, but essentially, what happens is nobody knows how to intervene, and the way to be able to emergently intervene is to sort of label this individual that's behaving in a different manner as though they need psychiatric evaluation. The downside of that, folks, is that if you then need long-term care placement or medical intervention in, say, a nursing home or a subacute community, it can make admission to those buildings much harder because you've now gotten this labeling of a psychiatric patient. And it's a complex issue that Gary speaks better about than I do. And I would encourage you to listen to that episode of the podcast with Gary Joseph LeBlanc, October 11th. Alicia Coppola, and it's Alicia, not Alicia. I learned that in the first few seconds of the podcast. It was funny. I started the podcast off badly by mispronouncing. I did do a lot of research, but still some things you miss. Alicia Coppola is an actor, author, caregiver, as Adam Ferrara, the guest we mentioned earlier, would say, she is a household face. You may not know her name. You may think you know her name because of the Coppola reference. She's no relation to Francis Ford Coppola that she knows of. But she lost her dad to cancer when she was, she lost him over about a 10-year period. And she wrote, she journaled about it. And her dad was also writing a journal at the same time. And 20, 30 years later, she managed to get it into a format of a book that she worked with and worked on and probably approached and avoided many times leading up to it. But she got this book called Gracefully Gone, published and written. And she's a very much an advocate for high school age and college age individuals who lose a family member. They do not. There's a thing about portions of the brain not being fully developed, and they are left at a point where they can't process it properly. And from a social standpoint, they are at this tweener stage of their lives where they're no longer a child where everybody would run to their aid, but they're not quite yet an adult where they might have the confidence or the network to reach out for help. So they're in this sort of no man's land. And when they lose someone, their own subsequent rates of depression or suicide or whatever are quite high. And she's very involved in that. I mean, she's, it's a good episode from a very successful woman talking about losing a father that she dearly loved and admired. October 25th, John Paul Morosi. Now this guy, he has a website called Caregivers Work, and what he talks about is the work-life balance, the sandwich generation, and I see this a lot, professional caregivers that get thrust into being personal family caregivers. And I can tell you this from my own personal experience, no matter how long you've been in the profession, when it hits you personally, you're not prepared. Most of your training goes out the window because you now view things as an individual, as a non-professional, because that's the way it hits you. So we talked a lot about that. But the other piece that John Paul gave me is that, you know, he said it, I believe, on the podcast, that he's 70 years old. And he has got a very dynamic position running a very large retirement community out in Colorado. And he gave me motivation where I didn't even know I was needing it. I'm, you know, 15 or so years younger than John Paul. And there's times where I'm like, oh, gosh, I'm tired. You know, what's the end game here? I make the joke about, you know, I see light at the end of the tunnel. I don't know yet whether it's a train or whether it's the sun. Well, I make the joke these days that I kind of hope it's a train. It's not like I want anything bad to happen to me, and I don't want to get hit by that train, but I'm too tired to walk through the tunnel. I'd like to be met halfway, even if it means it's a train and not the sun. But he really did invigorate me because, you know, I've been blessed to have had a very robust speaking career that I frankly got burned out and have gone in another direction, but I keep toying with the idea of going back exclusively to that. And then I say, who wants to hear from an old guy telling everybody, you know, when I was a kid, I walked to the school and, you know, in the snow and the, you know, and, then I think about how Zig Ziglar, who's one of the best, well-known, most successful motivational speakers of all time, he didn't take the stage for the first time until he was, I think, 70 years old. And I view John Paul Morosi at 70 as being just a very energetic, dynamic man that sees a future career for himself. So I'm getting motivation in a lot of places through the podcast, and I hope you are too. Pietro Barbieri, who I learned calling him Pietro, which I thought was respectful, really was not. He'd rather be called Peter Barbieri, was November 1st, and he's another one of these, not a caregiver, but he is in my mind. He talked about observations that he's seen through watching his wife's 30-year career in home health and how he sees being a caregiver as a very dangerous career, and the statistics bear it out. Caregivers cannot control time and space in how we interact with other people. Our personal space has to be violated by virtue of the way we interact with other people. It's intimate. It's in your face. It's, you know, down there changing, you know, a dressing or an incontinency pad, or it's behind closed doors in a room, or it's in someone's home. I mean, caregivers are right there on the front lines, and it's not always a pretty picture. Some very dangerous things occur. And he talks about situational awareness and OODA. It's a term he'll explain it in the podcast. And I actually had someone send me an email that said that they did not know how much of a risk they'd been taking in certain ways that they were behaving. One of the things he talked about, for example, is if you're preoccupied as a caregiver, and they always are, they're distorted is the term that I use, and you go shopping, and when you come out, you can't find your car. That's not dementia. That's stress, preoccupation, multitasking, what have you. But when you're walking around looking for your car, you are extremely vulnerable, and you're better off if you sort of triangulate where your car is. You're actually better off at that point going back inside, you know, buying yourself a soda or what have you, and then coming back out and going straight to your car. Because in the time when you're looking for your car, you're signaling to people out there that are looking for vulnerable people that you're vulnerable. And he just had a great perspective that I would encourage you to listen to. November 1st, Pietro Barbieri, attorney, caregiver, safety expert, Second Amendment expert for the right to carry. This podcast is being recorded the day after the incident in the Texas church. And it's just, you know, it's a wonderful, wonderful world out there, folks. But be aware of what's going on around you, because it's just listen to the podcast. November 8th, Suzette Graham, founder and CEO of Patriot Angels. This is the closest podcast that somebody could argue might have been sort of a commercial. And it was not in any way, but Suzette does make her living owning and running Patriot Angels, which is a organization that assist people in understanding and applying for veteran aid and attendant benefits that people are. And, you know, if you have any touch of a veteran in your life, I encourage you to listen to this episode of the podcast. My family found out that my mom might actually qualify for a Veterans Administration benefit going forward. So I personally, my family personally may have benefited from this. Eunice Sykes and her book, Mashed Potatoes in My Salad. This is, I don't regret this podcast. I regret my performance on this podcast. This was the first time I did a podcast with someone whose book I had not yet read. And I made a couple of mistakes for which I apologize, Eunice, but this is a book of fiction that also is sort of autobiographical. Don't really know how to explain it. I have since read the book, and it's still sort of blurred lines for me as to when it was fictional and when it was autobiographical. But nonetheless, it's aside from the book and the podcast, it's a story of how while Eunice had to handle the challenges of dealing with her husband with dementia, she forged many relationships along the way. So, Brian LeBlanc, November 22nd. I don't think anybody's taught me more about life than this gentleman did. Brian, who is no relation to Gary Joseph LeBlanc, although they know one another, is living well with dementia. And we spoke about his experience of sharing what he's going through with dementia, relationships, just a fun episode. And Brian, a shout out to you. I've mentioned you a few times in a few speaking engagements since, and I've not failed to, what am I trying to say? Every time I've mentioned you, people have known of you. So you are getting the word out there, my friend, and you gave me a greater appreciation for things during our podcast. Doug Wojcicki. I think I might have just said for the first time your name, Doug, properly. I think I told you this. I just keep thinking of Wojo from Barney Miller, and I loved his character because he was sort of, I don't know, I guess it was fair to say he was sort of dim-witted but well-meaning, and I just sort of loved that. You do not remind me of him. That's not what I am saying. But before I could figure out how to say your name, I just keep thinking of all the jokes that Barney Miller had about saying his last name. So let me stop there before I get accused of being disrespectful. But Doug, your work with Disclosure and your foundation, Sorry Works, is changing lives. It's changed mine. It's changed the lives of many of the families that I serve, because I am the quickest person in the world to say I'm sorry, and I didn't used to be. And I really give you great credit for that, and teaching me how to do that in the proper way. That is not a throwaway apology, but it's also not a legally binding apology. And one lesson that it's just an empathic apology, and it really does offer healing and closure for both the families that are going through a difficult time and the professionals who have made a mistake or not made a mistake, but feel guilty about something that occurred. I'm sorry. Well, let me say it the way you do. Sorry works. I mean, it is powerful. And I can't, of all the podcasts, either listen to this one or don't, but of all the podcasts that reference a guide or a book, if you're a professional caregiver or a leader in caregiver space, get something from Sorry Works and read it and use it as a Bible. It's changed my career. And Doug and I missed a close encounter of meeting in the Philadelphia airport on my mom's birthday, December 19th. So, Doug, I chose my mom over you, but we'll get together again soon. And I am looking forward to doing some work with you going into the future. But seriously, if you're a professional in this industry, please read the book Sorry Works and listen to Doug's episode of November 29th. And he's a brilliant man, nothing like Wojo from Barney Miller. The first time I had myself as a guest on the podcast was December 6th, the Defender of Caregivers, Mental Filtering, This Too Shall Pass. And I'm going to give myself a compliment. I really enjoyed listening to my other podcast where I did a monologue kind of like this one. I don't intend to do this to you often, but I do intend to try and give you a podcast every week. And sometimes it's going to be like this. Sometimes it might be me repurposing something from the past, but I'm really enjoying hearing a former version of myself, because I've forgotten some of the seriousness of the humor that I try and share. And give it a listen. I think it was a great podcast about temporary, how things are temporary, and we learn to move on, and how our memories are not perfect, and what we remember of our memories is whether it was a positive or a negative, but everything else gets blurred, and we get to choose whether it's a positive or a negative, and that can change over time. So I enjoyed resharing that episode. December 13th, the Shut Up Sisters. Oh, no, you didn't say shut up. Yes, you did. They got their book banned because they said shut up as it being hate speech or something. I don't know. They'll tell you the story. But these gals are hilarious. They're two sisters, each raised imperfect children. They wrote a book, Shut Up About Your Perfect Kid. And they have 850,000 Facebook followers. And may I point out some of the same challenges with Mark Zuckerberg. Mark, damn it, you got all the money in the world. Let us little people doing a good thing out there reach the people that need to hear from us. 850,000 people chose to hear from the Shut Up Sisters, Gina Taurasi Gallagher and Patricia Taurasi. Let them hear from them. Okay, that's it. I'm done on that advocacy thing. But it was a fun episode, and sadly, I was right. Tom Brady's getting old, and the Patriots are not what they once were. But that's terrible. I'm sorry. I'm going to move on. Great episode, great book. We're coming up to the last two podcasts that I want to talk about. Peter Rosenberger, this guy just handed it to me. Peter Rosenberger, in his book Hope for the Caregiver, tells the story about he and his wife Gracie. And as he says it, I said I do and I did. They've been married for 30 plus years. He met his wife Gracie in college shortly after she had a terribly tragic automobile accident. And he said, I fell in love with a woman that was hurt. And I still love her, and here I am. And he's got a fantastic spiritual and musical background. He's got some shared childhood history with Jeff Foxworthy. And we were able to talk a little bit about the fact that I own the domain You Might Be a Caregiver If.com, and had put up quite a few You Might Be a Caregiver If statements on Facebook over the years, that I had a lot of fun with that. And we touched on that on the podcast, and he's a professional a broadcaster. He has his own podcast, which I listen to our podcast together to learn more about it. But he just handed it to me. He was so much quicker off the take and funnier. And what I learned is that when he does a You Might Be a Caregiver If statement, he tells you about the nuts and bolts of doing it every day. He feels it viscerally. Whereas when I do it, I talk about the psychology of it. There's a very different feel. Not that one is better than the other. Well, his were much better than mine. But anyway, he also did something that no one else has been able to do. He spoke so deeply, so well, and so passionately that I just shut up and became a listener, which I need to do more of. But it was a great podcast. December 20th, Peter Rosenberger. And I have since, we haven't actually officially done the transaction yet, but I am giving him the domain You Might Be a Caregiver If.com. My ulterior motive is that maybe he can get Jeff back involved and he can just help find more caregivers to listen to his message, mine, whoever's. I just want to help reach this audience. And you can do that by rating this podcast a 5-star, by subscribing to it, and by sharing it with others. So our latest podcast of December 27th was with Ann Belcher. And Ann is, you little rock star, you. Ann is a nurse of 54 years. And I met her by overhearing her and Carl, a nurse of even more than 54 years at the Maryland Board of Nursing, renewing licensures or whatever. And this is the thing that I just treasure about the podcast, is that I'm approaching people in ways I never would before. And what a wonderful story. So we did a live podcast with Ann and Carl at the Iron Rooster in downtown Baltimore for breakfast, like rock star breakfast. It was awesome. And it was a great event, and they heard what we were doing, and they comped our meal. So the Iron Rooster gets a big shout out here. Sadly, though, it was such a popular place to eat and so noisy that we couldn't use the podcast. So we did it by phone, and Carl couldn't join us. So we had Anne, who talked about her career in oncology nursing and the spiritual side of it and how humor comes into play. It was a wonderful telephone episode, and we will do a live one. We're all three in Baltimore area. We will do a live one, including Carl, sometime soon. And so in conclusion, folks, thank you for being here. I am really enjoying this journey. I want it to continue. I want more people to learn what we're doing here, solely because the few people that have found us have told me profoundly that these stories are making a difference in their life. We all have unique caregiver stories, and I hope you're enjoying hearing some of them here on the podcast, even in this one when it's just me rambling for over an hour. What a narcissist I am. This might end up being the longest podcast of the 26, and it's just me talking. Thanks again for listening. Please leave us a 5-star review. Let me know what you think. But most importantly, please share this with others that you think might benefit from these caregiver stories and the Caregiver Podcast. Okay, everyone, go out there, do what you do, be good, and honor yourself as you care for others, because you might be a caregiver. Thank you for caring. Happy New Year. Bye-bye now.